This is Express FM.
Supported by City of Portsmouth College. Find your brilliance.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
Pompey move one giant step closer to the championship.
Cassini Yenge for Portsmouth. Yenge, he's done it! Cassini Yenge! What a goal! The Australian substitute has scored and Portsmouth lead!
Cassini Yenge with his third goal of the week to help the Blues to a 1-0 win at Peterborough, a place no other team in League One has gone to this season and kept a clean sheet. That's now a 9-point gap to third place with just 7 games remaining after results at the weekend, and a top 6 finish is now guaranteed. We'll dive a bit deeper into those results and the updated standings on the show tonight. And we'll have plenty of reaction to the game at London Road too, including the man who set up Pompey's winning goal, Gavin White, talking about coming back into the team and dealing with being called upon for big moments after such a stop-start season for him personally.
I think it's been well documented that I've had a tough season, but you know, as long as I can just help the boys when I come on, you know, give them something to cheer about, I'm happy to do that.
We'll also get the gaffer's perspective on his side's victory at Peterborough.
It was a special day today because of the fans. I thought it was probably the best away atmosphere I think I've ever experienced, and so to be able to obviously win the game and put in that performance was superb.
And some strong words from Cassini Yenge.
Love it a lot. They're becoming more regular, so it's always great. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the scenes at the end of the season when we get promotion.
So this is it. 13 points will mathematically confirm Portsmouth's promotion to the Championship after 12 years away. We ought to hear from you, Pompey fans, and how you're feeling. How many wins from the final 7 games do you think Pompey need? Which of those remaining fixtures do you think will be the most difficult? And with this weekend's clash with Barnsley postponed, has the international break come at a good or a bad time for the Blues, in your opinion? Get in touch via the Express FM app. Otherwise, text your name and message to 81400. Start with the word Express. Email pompey@expressfm.com or on socials, it's @ExpressFM. Well, I'm very much looking forward to this one, and you should be too. Good evening and welcome on this fine Monday night to the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Yes, hello. You are indeed very welcome indeed to tonight's episode of the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. Very welcome. You get two indeed. We have a lot to talk about between now and 7 o'clock, which is when we welcome Jeff Dorsett back into the hot seat for this week's instalment of the Soft Rock Show. Interviews on the way too with Gavin White, John Messina and Cassini Yenge, as well as the thoughts of our two studio guests who we'll introduce shortly. And this evening we'll have a heavy focus on the events at London Road on Saturday afternoon, where Pompey took on a Peterborough United side with a momentum of 6 consecutive wins behind them and having scored in every league fixture on home turf this season. For arguably the biggest game of the campaign so far, and most certainly the most anticipated one yet, John Messina named 3 changes to the side that started in the midweek win over Burton Albion at PO4. 2 were forced, with Joe Rafferty and Paddy Lane suffering with illness, while rotation was implemented in attack, allowing Colby Bishop to come back into the starting 11 in place of Cassini Yenge, whose brace last Tuesday night had given the Blues the victory against the Brewers. Guy Whittingham was back in the press box to accompany Andy Moon for the commentary of the game.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
It's a big one. Wherever you are tuned in this afternoon, strap in. Going to be an exciting afternoon. It's Pack going to hit it, strikes it, okay. Oh, and it was fumbled by the goalkeeper, but fumbled well and fumbled to the side, and Burrows' clearance goes off Sadie behind goal kick. And now Burrows could be away, and Shocknessy's got to come across, and Pompey are in real trouble, and Burrows can hit it, and he'll drive it just wide. Oh, that's a glorious crossfield ball to Efron Mason Clark, and now he will run at Swanson into the penalty area. Mason Clark, he's so dangerous, and he's hit the bar, and it's bounced away. And Pompey have dodged the bullet there, 0-0. Time to deliver, free kick to the far post, good delivery, Bishop's header is saved. Pierre Harris hits it, deflected, loose and forced and blocked and still there and blocked again from Bishop. Good defending by Peterborough. Just thought that ball's going to find its way through. There's so many bodies in there, it couldn't. The half-time whistle goes. It is Peterborough United 0, Portsmouth 0. What can White do? He needs to play a pass on the left to Yenge. He's one-on-one with the last defender. Cassini Yenge for Portsmouth. Yenge, he's done it! Cassini Yenge! What a goal! He goes round his man. Knight on the floor. He's been beaten. The Australian substitute has scored. And Portsmouth lead. Peterborough 0, Portsmouth 1. Yenge against 2. To the dead ball line, what can he make here? He goes round his man, it's great from Yenge, and it's well saved by the goalkeeper. The final whistle has gone. Portsmouth have beaten Peterborough by a goal to nil. They will stay 5 clear at the top of the table, and that feels like a monumental result.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Yeah, you could say that, Andy Boone. A monumental result for Pompey at the weekend, winning by a goal to nil away at Peterborough United. Big thanks to Cassini Yenge for that goal in the second half. We're going to come and talk about the events of that game in just a moment. Let's go through the other results from the weekend then. Barnsley held to a 0-0 draw at home to Cheltenham Town. The big game that did, of course, concern Pompey was Derby County hosting Bolton Wanderers at Pride Park. Within the same 60 seconds when Pompey went 1-0 up, as did Derby, winning by a goal to nil over Bolton Wanderers. Elsewhere, Exeter City 1, Burton Albion 0, Fleetwood 1, Charlton Athletic 1. Lincoln City, with their 16th goal in their last three games, securing a 5-0 win over Bristol Rovers. Port Vale were defeated by 2-0 at home to Oxford United. Reading 4-0 winners over Cambridge. Shrewsbury hosted Carlisle United and won by a goal to nil. Elsewhere, Leighton Orient travelled to Stevenage and also won 1-0. Wigan Athletic 1-0 victors over Blackpool at the DW Stadium. And Pompey's next opponent next Friday, Wickham Wanderers, securing a 2-0 victory at home to Northampton Town. So, the League One table looks a little bit like this. Pompey, of course, remain top of the division, now on 83 points, 12 games unbeaten and 3 wins in their last 6. Of course, back-to-back now, following the 2 victories last week. Derby County, currently the nearest competitors on 78 points, so they are 5 points behind Pompey. No games in hand, crucially. Bolton Wanderers are third with 74 points. They are 9 points behind Pompey, again, crucially. No games in hand. Peterborough remain fourth. They're on 71 points with one game in hand. Essentially, they win that, but go level on points with Bolton Wanderers. And then just below them, Barnsley, also on 71 points. And they are 8 points clear of Oxford United in sixth. Lincoln City are just outside of the playoffs after what's been a monumental upturn in form since the turn of the new year. They are unbeaten since New Year's Day. 5 wins in their last 6. They're on 61 points, just 2 points outside of the playoffs. And Stevenage in eighth, also on 61 points, with a game in hand. That does mean, Pompey fans, mathematically, with Stevenage playing Oxford between now and the end of the season, the Blues cannot finish outside of the top 6 in League One this season. They have secured at least a playoff position for the first time since 2020. Down at the bottom, Carlisle United are staring relegation straight in the face, but could also be secured next week. They're on 23 points, joined alongside Port Vale, Fleetwood Town and Cheltenham Town in the relegation zone as things stand. Burton Albion and Cambridge both on 39 points just outside, having played one game extra than Cheltenham Town. So that looks like it's going to be a bit of a tight race between now and mid of the season to survive the drop. Well, it's not just myself you'll be hearing from between now and 7 o'clock. We've got two brilliant voices on the show tonight to deliver the reaction to Saturday's game away at Peterborough. And first and foremost, delighted to say on the footballer again, is Mr. George Wedlake, who you can find on Express Indy every Saturday night. Also the man who works the magic behind Pompey Live on most weeks too. George, good evening.
Hello, thanks for the plug, by the way.
Anytime. Anytime. Deserve it. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing? Thanks for having me along.
No, you're welcome. It's great to be on sort of this side of the desk with you, sort of having your say as well. You know, you're watching the game on Saturday. Massive win at Peterborough, wasn't it?
Oh, it was huge. So it's my job, a lot of people might not know this, to clip that highlight reel we heard at the beginning. Mm. And on days like that, it's very enjoyable. So, yeah, it makes work a lot more fun.
I can imagine so. And alongside myself and Brendan... myself and Brendan just revealed it. There he is. Oh, Brendan Tuttiet is alongside myself and George tonight. Brendan, good evening.
Good evening, Jake. Thank you for having me back again, mate. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very welcome. We were talking before we came on air. Unfortunately, weren't at the game on Saturday.
Unfortunately, no, but I've seen all the extended highlights
you
and
have.
Everything that needed to be seen.
Good. You know enough.
I do.
It's a bit of a shame because you went to Charlton and Blackpool.
Oh, 2-0
draws. 2-0 draws. You missed Saturday and we win.
Yeah, I know. Well,
is that you done for games this season? Can we just...
Maybe away games. Okay. I'm missing Bolton as well. I'm working for that one.
Good.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll watch that. I'll whack that on the iFollow and I'll make sure I get that tuned into that one.
I'm glad you're not there, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, it's a long way as well.
After your record in recent weeks. Brendan, going back to Saturday then, I think a lot of us might have taken a point from that game, but of course the 3 points are an additional bonus to that. Quite an even affair. Do you think Pompey were deserving of that victory?
I think so, actually. Even from the first half where Peterborough kind of dominated the game and dominated the ball, we defended astronomically really well. I thought Sparks and Swanson kept their wingers at bay, and Shocknessy and Raggett kept the centre forward at bay. And, you know, Darren Ferguson after the game comments saying that, oh, we were the better team. I said, well, not really, mate. You only had one shot on target in the whole game, so I can't see how you were the better team. You might have had more of the ball, but you didn't put the ball in the net, which is what we did.
Yeah, and a very tough team, our Peterborough United, George, as they quite often are when they come down to League One. They've got a lot of pedigree in this division. Darren Ferguson, again, no matter what he says after the game, he's got Peterborough out of this league 3 times. Mm. He's looking for a 4th time. And the attacking prowess, they've got the likes of Kwame Poku, for example, Johnson Clark-Harris come off the bench. They're just 2 names out of a whole host of players they've got at their disposal. For Pompey to keep a clean sheet, they become the first League One team this season, in March, to have kept a clean sheet away at Peterborough United. That is some doing, and like Brendan said, a big testament to the defence.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Raggett, I mean, a couple of times he's found himself out of the starting lineup now when McIntyre came in, and obviously Regan Poole for the first half of the season. The way, like, the character he's shown just to come back into the side, and just him and Shocknessy, the way they work together, they've been rock solid. And Ephraim Mason-Clark, another name in there as well, very quick. Yeah. Peterborough all round, very fast going forward. And to hold them off is some feat. And I just think Pompey aren't used to being the team, you know, when it comes to possession, we're used to being in control against most teams. Peterborough are one of those that, you know, they had a lot more on the day. So, to hold them off, again, just another tick.
Yeah, indeed it was. And we mentioned the changes John Massino had to make before the game, Brendan. 3 changes from that victory over Burton Albion. 2 were enforced with Joe Rafferty, Paddy Lane missing out due to illness, which, thank the Lord, it's not another injury for those two. Hope they get better soon, but hopefully illness will be back for Wickham next Friday. The other one was Cassini Yenge dropping out for Colby Bishop in attack. Yenge did, of course, come on in that first half as a sub. We're going to get on to the moments of the game in a short while's time. But to have 2 an attack at a high press, Pompey's intensity from minute 1 to 90 was quite high against the Peterborough United side, as strong as they are. They went into the game 6 wins in a row, 5 wins in the league consecutively as well. That was quite a bold statement from John Massino, not to just sit back and invite the pressure. He wanted that win.
Massively. It big shock to me. Even we found out, obviously, that Rafferty was ill in the end, you know. Mm. But to be dropped as well, I thought, wow, this is 2 sort of attacking fullbacks coming in, even against these guys. But luckily, it's paid off for us. But yeah, to sort of put Yenge on rather than a more conservative sort of defensive player for Sadie was a big surprise. Mm. And yeah, I thought it worked really well. We always thought that Yenge and Bishop couldn't really work together because they sort of occupy the same sort of positions. Mm. Even though one's more of a Yenge will run the channels where Bishop will come and hold the ball up and bring other players in. But I think it married really well. It's a similar thing when we had Joe Piggott and Bishop up front. I thought at times it really did work, even though Cowley said it, and now Massino said it, that they both cover the same areas. They're both getting each other's ways. But as a fan looking in, I can see it kind of works in some aspects of the game. Hmm. And really works in our favour.
Yeah, they really did as well. It's nice to see them both on the pitch because obviously there's been a bit of Bishop shouldn't be playing this one. We want to see more of Yenge and vice versa. Seeing them both out there and do the job, yeah, it's nice to see.
Mm.
And coming off the bench again, we're going to go through the sort of chronological moments of the game in the second part of the show, George. But Gavin White got the assist for Cassini Yenge's winner. Without going too much into detail of the actual goal itself, but just talk about Gavin White quickly. To come on after what's been a very stop-start season for him, not getting too much game time, maybe the game time he's had, he's not maybe lived up to the kind of standard that Pompey fans were expecting when we signed him back in the summer. But to come on Saturday and show that level of determination to get that goal, and you could see the enthusiasm he brought, especially with the celebrations. It's a great testament to the kind of character he is, just to come straight in and still do the job.
Yeah, absolutely, and I couldn't be happier for him. He's faced a lot of criticism because, as you say, he didn't live up to maybe the expectations that he had when he first signed. But again, look, like I mentioned with Raga earlier, a little bit more than that with White. He's missed out far more, and to just come in and do that kind of job is what you want to see, isn't it, from your fringe players.
Similar with Swanson as well. Swanson come in, yeah. He's out of the cold, straight in the starting lineup, and you know, come off the bench a little bit against Burton in the last 10 minutes. But to be jumping and to the against Peterborough away as well is fantastic for him, for his confidence as well.
Yeah,
let's hear from him now, shall we? Gavin White spoke after the full-time whistle on Saturday to Andy Moon, who first asked the Northern Irishman for his thoughts on the game.
Great win. We knew it was going to be a tough game. Probably one of the better sides in the league. It was tough, but the boys dug in deep and we got the rewards for it. It's a really good win.
What did the manager say to you when you were coming on?
Just try and affect the game, be positive, get in the pockets like I do. Just try to affect it. I think I did that, and a really enjoyable one.
It's funny because it's so tense, but it's also so stretched, and there were lots of spaces at places at times.
Yeah, there was, and you know, Cass is good at that. He's good at stretching the game, gives us something different. I thought he was brilliant today. I thought all the boys were superb, and I'm buzzing to be fair.
What did you look up and see when you got the assist?
I just seen Cass free, to be fair. He got himself in good space, and I thought if he switches and he gets one-on-one, he's good at it, you know what I mean? So, he done brilliant today.
Fine goal from him.
Yeah, great goal. We see it every day in training. He has good feet. Probably did too much step-overs, but I think the fans enjoyed it.
And you had that chance just to make it two at the end.
Yeah, probably should have took it, but as I say, we don't care as long as we got the win.
Look, when you haven't played that much in the season, how good does it feel to come on and make such a big contribution in a game as big as this?
Yeah, it feels really good. I think it's been well documented that I've had a tough season, but you know, as long as I can just help the boys when I come on, give them something to cheer about, I'm happy to do that.
Can you put your finger on why it's kind of been so tough and perhaps you haven't reached the levels you'd want to?
I'm not sure. Probably just a stop-start season. Probably games haven't gone the way I've wanted to. I've tried to dig in deep and, you know, just try to be positive now when I get on the pitch.
How tough is it, football? I mean, you're not in the squad and you're training by yourself on a Saturday.
It's tough. I don't really think people know how tough it is. You know, as footballers, all we want to do is play games, and you know, when we're not doing that, sometimes we find it tough, but it's football at the end of the day.
I know your family was back in Northern Ireland at the start, and that's, people don't often see that challenges people going on in people's lives.
Yeah, listen, my family's back home. Probably found it a bit tough, you know, not seeing the kids every day and that, but you know, as I say, we have to make sacrifices. My family will always cheer me on, no matter if they're here or not. As I said, it's been tough, but it's been a really enjoyable season being part of this team. See what happens.
So a quick hop back to Belfast for a bit of time off now, the international break?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I'm going to go back and see the kids for a few days. You get a nice few days off. As I say, I wasn't really used to having international breaks because I was always away, but you know, it's nice to have a few days off and recharge.
Just lastly, 6 points, 6 games, 10 points needed. It's suddenly sounding more achievable than maybe it did even a few days ago.
Yeah, I think so. But as I say, we won't get too ahead of ourselves. As I say, it's cliche, but we take each game as it comes. You know, when we have the fans like we do, it makes it a bit easier.
That was Gavin White talking to Andy Moon after the Blues 1-0 win at Peterborough on Saturday afternoon. And George, we heard Gavin White talking there about, you know, the difficulties of coming back into the team. We mentioned before the interview about a very stop-start season for him. personally, and you know, when he reveals such information like that, the fact that his family's still back home in Northern Ireland, he's not seeing his kids as much as he'd hoped to, those were kind of factors that actually you don't really appreciate when you're going to matches. You see the 90 minutes on the pitch and you don't actually sort of realise what goes on behind the scenes. That, you know, really can't help, can it?
No, mentally he's obviously going through a bit of something there, because it must be tough being away from your family and things like that, and coming to a new place, a new city, and the season's not going as well for him as he'd have liked on the pitch. It's going to take its toll at some point. So again, that just highlights the strong character he does have, because it, coming on at the weekend, getting the assist for Yenge under tough circumstances.
Indeed, and John Messina, we've seen, has moulded this side to be sort of mentality monsters throughout the season. When they get a setback, the team responds to it, like on Saturday with injuries to, or sickness to Paddy Lane and Joe Rafferty. But again, just in regards to Gavin White, to have that sort of strength to just, you know, not have that, I don't know, negative mindset of going into the game and thinking, oh, I've not had much game time, I'll just lounge around a little bit and try and do something. No, he put in his full effort, and it wasn't just the assist for the goal, it was actually before that, to lay it to Bishop originally and receive a ball. I just think it's fantastic for a player like him with such little game time to do that.
It's great. I going back to the mentality from Messina has put instilled in these players, it's fantastic. I'm not sure I've seen a Pompey team like this in many years, where we've sort of this never say die attitude, and you know, and win at all costs. And it's wonderful to see and you know, to be there witnessing it each and every week. It's brilliant. But on Gavin White, yeah, I think it's a brilliant way, and shows how much strength and the mentality that the club have instilled on him, and to come away and play the way he did, you know, to be out, to sort of be our starting marquee signing, and then to sort of lose your spot, and then have your bit of injury, a bit of family crisis, and to come back in and to play the way he has, you know, even coming off the bench against Burton, I thought, yeah, that cameo where I thought, oh, no, I even went, oh, go on, Paddy. I thought, no, mate was like, nah, that's Gavin White. I thought, what? And then proceeded on to Saturday as well. What a play he's turned out to be, and hopefully his career at Pompey kicks on from here.
Yeah. Linda on the emails has got in touch saying, what a great win on Saturday. We won by scoring a great, great goal and team performance. Whoever was the scout with Fan Casino, Yenge deserves a great big bonus. Also, what a great pass by Gavin White. Darren Ferguson moaning about allowing 4,000 Pompey fans to attend the game. Perhaps he needs to comment on his own fans, who were outnumbered the Pompey fans only by 2-1, and going for a promotion were passionless in supporting their team. God, Linda. He is just like his father, Sir Alex Ferguson, says Linda, whose team Manchester United in the 2008 quarter-final in the FA Cup, and going for the treble, lost to Pompey's penalty by Solly Montari. Definitely against the run of play, and has moaned ever since. His son said his team were the better side on Saturday, but it's the goals that count, not the possession or the shots. Thank you very much, Linda, for getting in touch this evening. Pompey fans, don't forget you can get in touch on the show between now and 7 o'clock. All the usual ways can be found on our website, expressfm.com. Right, very soon we'll bring George and Brendan back into the conversation, but not before we head off for a very quick breather. When we come back, we'll also take a listen to what Blues head coach John Messina had to say following his side's win at Peterborough, as well as not having a game this weekend.
We've got a nice little break now, which I think, you know, we've won the game, but I still think it's come at the right time, and particularly with the illnesses and the injuries that we've got. And hopefully in 2 weeks' time, you know, we're going to rejuvenate ourselves and be in a really good position to crack on and try and get as many points as we can.
The three of us will be right back with more reaction to Saturday's League One action when the Football Hour returns after this short break.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. You join myself, Jake Smith, alongside George Wedlick and Brendan Tuttiet to go through all of the action from Saturday's 1-0 win for Pompey away at Peterborough United. Right, let's get on to the events of the game. Then we heard before the break from Gavin White, going to hear between now and 7 o'clock from John Messina and Cassini Yenge. as well. George, we've already touched upon the fact that Joe Rafferty and Paddy Lane were both missing from the game due to sickness. Rafferty was on the bench. Lane was sent back home. Colby Bishop brought back into the starting 11. And I don't think that's really necessarily because Cassini Yenge was dropped, more or less just rotation for John Massino and really flexing his muscles with the options he's got up top.
Yeah, I've spoken to John about this on the press days when I've been lucky enough to go down there. The attacking options at his disposal at the moment, he's loving it. He's having tough decisions every single week of who to leave out and who to put in and, you know, the rotation. Yeah. But what a problem to have. I mean, this is something that we're not entirely used to, is it, as Pompey fans? You know, I'm not going to name any names, but we've seen it. We've been quite limited in those positions. So, yeah, having this problem now, you can't really argue with that. People are looking at that at the weekend thinking, what? How's Bishop, our top scorer, back in the starting 11 after that performance from Yenge during the week? And it's, yeah, I mean, more of that. That would be great.
And it was probably a valid question from some Pompey supporters on socials on Saturday, Brendan, when we saw the team news. Yenge with a brace on Tuesday night, as George has alluded to there. Do you feel that maybe after a third goal in, you know, two games on Saturday, when that Wickham match comes around next Friday, Cassini Yenge will probably have a bit more scope and a bit more... sort of more of an argument to be starting that game?
I think definitely. Yeah, I think Cassini Yenge has definitely stamped his mark down to say I should be starting. But again, I can see where Massino starts Bishop. You know, he's your top goal scorer. Again, from a tactical point of view, you can see, you know, they both bring two different styles of play. And if you're playing, maybe I say, if you're playing a team of the back three, like when we played played Derby at home, and no, Derby was it? Bolton at home, that was it. And Yenge was playing up against Santos. Him running in those channels is easier to do when you're playing against the back three, because it's easier to get in there. And with a back two, it's easier for Bishop to get in there and hold the ball up and bring other players into play. So I can definitely see the tactical side of things of playing one over the other against, you know, looking at who you're playing against and what you're going to do with it. So, but yeah, the Yenge's definitely stamped his mark down saying, you know, look at me, I'm definitely here to stay and to play.
And we mentioned before the break, George, about how John Massino set up on Saturday in sort of lining up defence every time Peterborough had a goal kick or a sort of deep set piece. We had Colby Bishop, Christian Sadie, of course, from the offset, pressing very high. They were, you know, chasing down every single ball. Of course, Cassini Yenge replacing Christian Sadie after just after half an hour. But that high intensity was there. High risk, yes, high reward also to get the win. And maybe previous seasons we go to places like Peterborough, sit back, you have one or two shots on target, and you're lucky if you get away with a point. John Massino's a bit braver than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you sit back against teams like Peterborough and you invite them to attack, they're going to take full advantage of it, and we know the attack and power they've got. So, yeah, literally fighting fire with them at the weekend definitely helped. You say high risk, but it was a high reward. What a feeling come the final whistle.
Was indeed brilliant. Thank you very much, George, Brendan as well. We'll have more from our two guests shortly, but now let's gather some more reaction from the Pompey camp. Andy Moon caught up with John Massino shortly after the full-time whistle at London Road on Saturday.
I thought it was a superb result, obviously, at this time of the season. It's all about winning games. I thought it was a really, really good performance as well, especially in the second half. We had a couple of things to adjust at half-time, but overall, you know, obviously absolutely thrilled with the result, but the performance I thought was absolutely superb.
What was the situation with Paddy Lane and Joe Rafferty? Lane not in the squad, Rafferty on the bench today.
So both ill, and Paddy was slightly worse than Joe, so we sent Paddy home. Interesting one, both from the starting lineup yesterday. And so, first of all, you know, we thought, you know, Raff was the one that there was a possibility that he might be all right, hence we put him on the bench. But for Sparksy and Swanee to come in and do as well as they've done against two of the best wingers in the league, I thought it was absolutely incredible from both of them.
How tense did the game feel from the touchline?
It felt really tense, I think, because Peterborough are such a good side. They are a really good side, and if you get anything wrong, if you get the slightest thing wrong, they can punish you. Not just the front four that they've got, but the way that they play out from the back. If you don't get the press quite right, if you don't land on the second balls, if you're just off it for half a second, then they do really get at you and punish you. So, yeah, it did feel really tense from that point of view because of, I guess, the tactics within the game and also everything that the game meant and what was riding on the game as well. So that was was obviously heightened.
And Christian Stady, was that a hamstring? What was the situation with him?
Yeah, hamstring. I think it's similar to the one that he picked up, I think, away at Cambridge, where it's a neural one, so it's not a tear, but he's had that issue before, so it might be hopefully no longer than 2 weeks out. But I think it's just one of those that we need to make sure we're on top of. I don't think, like I said, it's not a tear. He has had it previously, so we are hopeful that it's going to be fine.
A brave decision to throw Yenge on and go two up front in a game like this.
Yeah, and that was it was one of those where we thought, well, the way that the game was panning out, I know it was relatively early, but we know that Colby can do that sort of 10. That 10 position, and because we were pressing as a 4-4-2, we thought it just made sense, and we toyed with it all week, to be honest, because of the fact that we've got two centre forwards and we were in such great form. And it was one of those that, yeah, it seemed like it was going to be the right decision. Obviously it paid off, so it's great at this point, but I do think, you know, if you're a centre half facing those two, then it's a difficult proposition.
Defensively, how good was that performance?
Probably one of the best of the season. I think if we talked about the two fullbacks facing those two wingers, that was excellent. And also the way that we want to press. We wanted to press high up the pitch, which left us 1v1 a lot of the time at the back. And sometimes we do leave ourselves exposed. That's the way we want to play. Our thought on this was that the amount of times we watched Peterborough and sides have dropped off them, they are extremely good if you do that. I think they're extremely good both ways, but if you drop off them, you let them have decent enough possession, they're going to get into some really good positions. So we thought we would press high, and that does leave the back four and also the middle of the park a bit exposed. So we knew that it was one of those things we were willing to take the risk with. But, you know, particularly in the second half, I thought we restricted them to so few chances. It was really, really good defensive performance.
It's not been an easy season for Gavin White, but he's come on and made a big contribution with the assist there today.
And I thought he was really good when he came on. We just spoke about that in the dressing room there, just for him to come on and be as good as he was for half an hour. We know we expect a huge amount from Gavin, and quite rightly. So in some ways it's just what we know that Gav can produce. But also because he's had a really difficult season, I think sometimes you look at that and think, maybe that isn't what everyone expected. So we were really confident because he's trained really well over the past couple of weeks, and he got his chance on Tuesday night as well as today. And yeah, really, really pleased for him. He got the assist. I thought he was really lively. He got the press. The only thing he didn't do is put the ball in the back of the net towards the end, but overall absolutely thrilled for him.
Christine Yenge did, and that was a fine goal.
Yeah, I think it was broke from deep, and Cass getting at his man in the box. That's what we want our attacking players to do. And yeah, he obviously did it and put the ball in the back of the net. So you know, thrilled for Cass. Not an easy one. When I spoke to him yesterday morning, he scored two on Tuesday night, and I thought his overall performance was really good. So to leave him out, I think that's sometimes something that is a difficult one to take. But Cass was really professional about how he took it yesterday. Again, he trained really well yesterday afternoon. Really, really positive influence around the place, and thoroughly deserved his goal.
Can you tell me how you felt with the final whistle?
Relieved, I think. It was just pure relief. And it was a special day today because of the fans. I thought it was probably the best away atmosphere I think I've ever experienced. And so to be able to obviously win the game and put in that performance was superb.
10 points from 6 games would get you into the Championship.
Yeah, we've just got to make sure that we, you know, keep our heads down and try and win as many games as possible. We've got a nice little break now, which I think, you know, we've won the game, but I still think it's come at the right time, particularly with the illnesses and the injuries that we've got. And hopefully in 2 weeks' time, it's going to, we're going to rejuvenate ourselves and be in a really good position to crack on and try and get as many points as we can.
The last one from me, that third international call came late in the week.
Yeah, so it did, and it was one of those. I know it was a bit inconvenient for everyone because people have got their travel plans, but we literally got the call on Wednesday afternoon that Mars was going to be called up to the Jamaica under 23 squad. So I get it. It was really frustrating, I think, for everyone. But it's one of those things that we just have to deal with. I think, even later on in the week, we had Abs is on the standby list for the England under 20s. That didn't get announced till Friday, so it could have been that if he was in that squad, it would have been a Friday cancellation. So, I agree with the sentiment around that hopefully, if we could have, not the club, couldn't have done anything different, but possibly if the squads could be announced earlier, that'd be great. So just from the fans' point of view, we find we can deal with it, but from the fans' point of view, definitely.
Blues boss John Messina there catching up with Andy Moon shortly after Pompey's 1-0 win over Peterborough United at the weekend. And don't forget, if you're tuning in live from back home, there is still plenty of time to have your say this evening. Get in touch. The ExpressFM app is probably the easiest way to reach us. On there, you can send us a type message or even a voice note. Alternatively, you can text Express to 81400, include your name after your message. Email pompey@expressfm.com, include @ExpressFM on X, or head to facebook.com/PompeyLive. And please please be advised, but if you are listening to this episode as a podcast after the live show has ended, please do not text, as your comments will not be read out, but you may still be charged, dependent, of course, on your deal with your mobile phone provider. Well, let's get back to George and Brendan then, and Brendan Tutty on the show this evening also does the BBC fan, BBC Radio Solent Fans Forum on a Thursday night. John Massino, just heard from him there, got booked on Saturday for a bit of a rant with a fourth official. Mm-hmm. That booking now means he's got a touchline ban for the Wickham game on Good Friday. Will have quite an impact on it.
I think so, but I also think at the same time, I think Zesh and John Harley are definitely up to the task of leading the team from the sidelines, and obviously they'll be in close communication with Massino. You know, don't necessarily need to be stood there, does he? But they're on the end of a mobile phone or a walkie-talkie. So it worked, you know. It's not quite, you know, his rant at the fourth official, I think it's a bit over-exaggerated what actually happened, because Massino is quite a placid bloke, but I've been quite close to the bench sometimes, and I think his assistants are a bit more animated than what he is. John Harley's a bit of a character on the sidelines I like, but obviously there's worse managers on the sidelines who like to rant and rave. You know, there's the
that ain't we're talking about.
The Scottish bloke at Stevenage, or there's Mark White at Dorking FC. You know, who talking about is like a rant, but I think we'll be fine. I can't see it making a huge, massive impact on us, because the players are well driven, and they've got, and as we've said tonight, there's a good mentality in them.
We got a tweet in from Kieran Drew saying about Sean Raggett, colossal all season, always gives 100%, never lets anyone down. George, somebody who may have gone under the radar a little bit this season, given just how well Pompey have done, of course. Defenders don't often get the kind of praise they, you know, quite usually deserve. Sean Raggett coming in for the large majority of the season. Regan Poole, of course, missing most of the campaign with his ACL. Sean Raggett's come in and really stepped up to the plate, and I think he's probably having his best season as a Pompey player yet.
Yeah, I think John Massino's getting the best out of him. He's even now playing well with his feet. It's something that used to strike fear into a lot of Pompey fans' hearts when that happened. But, yeah, I mean, he's turned into some player. And I, for one, if he lifts the League One trophy come the end of the season, I am getting that blown up and put on a canvas in my house, because he deserves it more than anyone in that team.
And someone's due a tattoo of Sean Raggett as well.
Yeah, when is that happening, Jake? Have you booked it yet?
Not making any more bets when it comes to Sean Raggett. And not turning your mics back up either. I've got the power over here to do that. On the subject of Sean Raggett, though, Brendan, I'm not talking about my backside. Pompey's defence. We mentioned at sort of the start of the show, we haven't really touched upon it, sort of talking about it yet. Peterborough United hadn't conceded, haven't not scored at home in the league this season. The only time they had been held by an opposing team taking a clean sheet away from London Road was Leeds United in the FA Cup. Now, for Pompey to do that in March, it goes to show how strong a team Peterborough are. We mentioned a couple of players. We've got Kwame Poku, Ephraim Mason-Clarke, George mentioned earlier, Malik Mothersill. He's had a really good sort of breakthrough season as well. Some real, real attacking threat, and Pompey nullified that. And whilst it was an end-to-end game, Peterborough had their chances, and Poku hit the bar in the first half. It's a great testament to Sean Raggett and the rest of his defence. Jack Sparks, and the kind of mix and match kind of season he's had. Zach Swanson to come back after so long out injured.
Yeah.
To be able to have that sort of calibre on the bench and to come in and step up like they did on Saturday is huge.
It's massive. I think it is. Even like how much we've had to chop and change the defence this year, with obviously Paul getting injured and McIntyre coming in, and Swanson's been injured, Rafty's been injured, Ogilvie's been injured. So it's all chops and change all the time. But I think it's a massive testament to our team. It's so warming to feel that this compliment to our team is around, because after the couple of years we've had recently where it's just not quite good enough, and you know, fans getting frustrated, and now we're again back being proud of the team, and you know, we're all fully behind them. And I think when the fans are happy and the fans are all there, you know, like we have the 4,000 at an away game, and even the atmosphere we've got at Fratton Park recently, I think that makes the players step up as well. When Fratton Park's rocking, the players are rocking as well.
And Brendan mentions there, George, the fans at London Road on Saturday, Pompey took 4,019 to Peterborough at the weekend. Something that, again, we mentioned earlier, Darren Ferguson wasn't too impressed by for his club to give Pompey that many tickets. But actually, what has been interested since Darren Ferguson's sort of post-match rant about his own club, it wasn't really an excuse for the defeat for Peterborough. It was more just a factor that he mentioned, and probably right in saying so, actually, because those 4,000 Pompey fans were incredibly loud throughout the entire afternoon. You can kind of understand where he's coming from. But Chris Brewer, who works at Peterborough United, I think he sort of works with the ticketing team, saying, "We didn't even sell out our home end. The alternative was to turn down £40,000 in revenue and leave an area empty. That would have been a crazy decision. If we had known, if we'd have won, it wouldn't have been mentioned. We also have won games before we've given certain away clubs £4,000 allocation. We'd love to have given the GH display stand, the one behind the goal, to home fans instead, and we held off giving Portsmouth tickets for weeks for that reason, but unfortunately demand just wasn't there." And we have seen in Peterborough games this season, sort of in midweek matches when Pompey haven't been playing, they've not filled that stand behind the goal, even when there have been minimal away fans coming. So in all fairness to Peterborough and whoever made that decision, are you going to turn down that revenue? Or
exactly, yeah.
Would you rather sort of swallow your pride and actually say, no, you're a promotion rival, we'll leave that stand empty?
At the end of the day, football's a business, isn't it? As much as we don't like that, and you know, it kind of takes the heart out of it sometimes, it is a business. Clubs need to have money to function and to run. And, you know, Pompey are going to sell it out. If you give them the allocation, they will do it. And it speaks volumes that Peterborough, you know, don't fill their allocation. I don't think you can point the blame at anybody other than the Peterborough fans for not turning up, really. I mean, get behind your team.
Definitely, where Bolton are making their money now, aren't they? Bolton are charging Pompey fans £30 a ticket, where they're charging Reading fans £10 a ticket, so they know where their bread's buttered, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of clubs, you know, would welcome that many fans come to their stadium because of the revenue. Darren Ferguson just moaning about it there. You know, he can't have been feeling too happy after the game. I think that's all that is.
Yeah, I can imagine. So one bit of good news as well, as reported by our good friend and colleague Jordan Cross at the Portsmouth News. Christian Saidy limped off on Saturday. John Messina mentioned in an interview we just heard a few moments ago, but it was potentially a hamstring issue that might keep him out for a few weeks. But Jordan Cross from the Portsmouth News has reported today that it's not as bad as first feared, and he will be available for selection for Wickham come next Friday. Should, of course, nothing happen in training between now and then, hopefully not, touch wood. Right, and go on.
Those training ground pitches, eh? God, too many injuries at the training ground.
Build a dome. And from one Pompey striker to another, Cassini Yenge, will be hearing from him after the break.
I want to start every game. No, I want to help the team, but Gaffer chose to put me on the bench, and I have to do what he says. I'm part of a team, and I just wait for my opportunity and wait on the sidelines ready to go. And when I was called upon, I came on and I tried to help the team win.
Stick with us here on Express FM to hear that interview with Pompey's Australian sensation, as well as the final thoughts of George Wedlake and Brendan Tutty at 2. The conclusion of the Football Hour coming up next.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, or just enjoying late night bus rides, from 7pm every day, you can take advantage of a Knight Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Knight Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South for just £2.50. The world is your oyster. Visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yeah, welcome back for the final time this evening to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth Express FM, brought to you, as you've just heard there, by Stagecoach Across the South. Good evening to Dave on the email saying, what a win that was on Saturday. I always feel like we're better off going to a team that have won five on the bounce compared to one that haven't won for five games, and so it proved on this occasion. I was concerned when I saw the lineup, as Joe Rafferty and Paddy Lane are such big players for us, although I'm a big fan of Zach Swanson, so it was good to see him get a game. Yenge not playing is such a waste of a talent, but when Saidy got injured, he got his chance and delivered the winner. Nice to see Gavin White play his part too. Sorry, Darren Ferguson, shots on goal and shots on target compared to your team do not suggest we were that lucky. We hit the post twice against Blackpool, but hitting the woodwork is not everything. Great 3 points for us. With any other result in the League One table, would have looked so different. Play at Pompey. And then capital letters, he ends, "We can do this." Dave, thank you very much for getting in touch. Let's talk about the goal then, George. Cassini Yenge on the 77th minute. leaving it relatively late. I think we're all sort of lost all of our fingernails by that point. I personally would have taken a point from Peterborough, regardless of whatever happens at Derby and Bolton. But we got the win. And yeah, Cassini Engi underneath Jed Steer, following what was a really potent counter attack from a Peterborough corner.
Yeah.
Gavin White initially sort of tucking the ball clear to Colby Bishop, receiving the 1-2 from him, bursting forward into the Peterborough half, and just at the right time, holding off Harrison Burrows to feed it out to Yenge on the left-hand side, who then, of course, darted into the box and put it underneath Jed Steer. So much to pick apart from. Mm. We'll start off with Gavin White, of course. We spoke about him in part one. But actually, the goal itself, first of all, the clearance of a touch to Bishop.
Yep.
Really well-timed. And then the run forward and the time and the effort to find Yenge on the left-hand side. Great vision.
Yeah, and the weight of the pass as well was spot on. Mm. The way it fell to Yenge's feet like that, exactly where he wanted it, put Yenge in a good position so he could take it forward, you know, and get into the box. And I've rewatched it now. I'd dread to think how many times because I didn't feel it coming on the day, perhaps. But when it did, it was so good. And yeah, I mean, it was a great finish, wasn't it? I mean, to have that kind of goal coming from your sub striker, yeah. it makes you feel pretty good.
Jack Cummins on Twitter, or X now, saying 17 points from 7 games against the top 6 this season. John Massimio is special. And when you look at his record, Brendan, we all know he's special, don't we? He's had such a great start to sort of life in management. 8 games he's been defeated in since he, of course, took charge of Pompey last January. Only 4 this season, 4 back in the last season, of course, taken over from that Danny Cowley side. And we were talking off air about the defeats we've had this season. Blackpool 4-0 at Fratton Park, Bristol Rovers on Boxing Day, followed by Cheltenham and Leighton Orient back-to-back back in January. Against the better sides, or the sort of top sides of this division, as Jack has alluded to on Twitter with that stat, 17 points from 7 games, really highlights what you were saying before the break, actually. Maybe we are better off to playing against, you know, top teams like Peterborough.
Definitely. And I think you sort of see it. I remember the first when we played Cheltenham at the start of the season when it was the 0-0 draw and we just couldn't break down a low block. And you see Cheltenham now, obviously, they're struggling down the bottom of the table. And, yeah, just that low block was our Achilles heel for many years. We couldn't break it. But then, and now, you know, we go and play the better, bigger teams who they will come out and attack you. And then, obviously, that opens up your gaps. You can get in between them. And then that's where we score our goals, which is such... before years we couldn't break those teams down, we couldn't get in those gaps, but now we can, and it's so much better. I'm beaming. It's so much better to start winning games again and being confident going into a game thinking, yeah, we got this one.
And breaking down teams like Peterborough with 4 passes, you know, before scoring the winner, it just goes to show how good we are going forward at the moment. It's starting it from the back as well, though, you know.
Yeah.
And all these injuries we bang on about these injuries because you can field an 11 with the amount of injuries we've got and a really good 11 as well. You know, the quality that we got missing, and yeah, it's just this. I will go back to it. This never say die attitude in this team to go out there and do what's right. You know. You know, I think that the mural that's under the tunnel at Fratton Park. Mm. Alan Ball said, you know, people went to war from this city. You know, it has that feeling. You know,
and you mentioned there the injuries again from Jack on X saying going to Peterborough without 12 first team players due to either injury or sickness. Regan Paul, Tom McIntyre, centre halves, fullbacks Conor Ogilvie, Joe Rafferty as well in midfield. Joe Morrell, Tom Lowry, Alex Robertson, Ben Stevenson, Terry Devlin, attacking midfield. As Callum Lang, Tino Angerin, and of course for winger Paddy Lane, all 12 of those players missing from Saturday's game, still getting the result over the line. Before we do sort of conclude the show tonight, George, I just want to touch upon the goal scorer himself, Cassini Yenge. 3 goals last week, the only 3 goals Pompey scored actually in those 2 matches against Burton Albion and Peterborough. What a season he's having, his first season in English football. And what a character he is too.
Yeah, he's already endeared himself, hasn't he, to the fans. And you can tell he's just having the best time at the moment. He's made, you know, no bones about saying that he wants to play more football, but he does respect the manager's decision and he knows how good Colby Bishop is. Obviously, being the club's top scorer, he understands that he might not be the first name on the team sheet. But when he's given that chance, he takes it. He had a great beginning of the season and then he suffered an injury himself, another one to add to the list, but his wasn't a season ender. He came back and he's just, you know, he's even been away, you know, on international duty for the Asia Cup, and he's come back and it's like he's never been away. It's incredible.
And back on international duty is Cassini Yenge this week with Australia, alongside Paddy Lane, if of course he recovers from that illness, with Northern Ireland. Miles Pitt-Harris with the Jamaican under-23s.
No yeah. pack for England?
No racket for England either.
That's unbelievable. No. Sort it out, Gareth.
Get John O'Shea on the phone as well. Shock Messi needs a game.
Yes.
Not winning the Euros without Pack and Raggett, are we? Come
no, not
at all. Speaking of Cassini Yenge, actually, he's been providing his post-match assessment to Max Watson.
Well, Cass, we break forward, you get the ball from Gav, you're running through on goal. What's going through your mind?
First, control the ball, and then look at the defender, look at where the space is, make my decision on what I'm going to do, execute and shoot.
What did you make of the scenes when it went in?
Yeah, it was amazing. It's a rush of adrenaline, and my teammates are jumping on my back, and all the fans are jumping around. I love it.
Going into the game, there must have been sort of real disappointment for you not starting, but how pleased are you to have come on earlier than you probably expected to be able to do that as well?
Yeah, of course, I want to start every game, and I want to help the team, but Gaffer chose to put me on the bench, and I have to do what he says. I'm part of a team, and I'll just wait for my opportunity and wait on the sidelines ready to go. And when I was called upon, I came on and I tried to help the team win.
How important is it to react like you have done, make sure you're ready for when you're called upon, because you don't know when that could be?
Yeah, it's very important. That's why we have such a big squad. We've got a number of players that are probably sitting on the bench week in, week out that could probably start games and contribute more to the team. But you have to play your role, and I'm trying to play my role as best as possible to help this team get promotion.
There was a lot sort of going against us going into this game with illness, injuries, but what does it say about the team being able to come here despite all of those things and get the 3 points and perform like we did today?
Yeah, it shows massive resilience, you know, togetherness within the squad, and heart, you know. We, as like you said, had a few setbacks, but a few players out, but, you know, players came in and played their role.
How much did you enjoy those scenes at the end?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it a lot. They're becoming more regular, so it's always great. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the scenes at the end of the season when we get promotion.
What's the mood like in the dressing room and among the lads after that one?
Yeah, I think relief in a way, because we had to hold out there at the end to get the win. Everyone's exhausted, but happy with the 3 points, happy with the performance, and looking forward to maybe a few days off to just relax and reset before we come back after the international break.
No rest for the wicked, of course, because you're obviously out to Australia for camp. How much are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, a lot. It's always a great honour and a great responsibility when you get called to play for your national team, and I've been lucky enough to have a few appearances now, and I'm looking to build on those and score some more goals and help contribute with the national team to qualify for the World Cup.
Just finally, one for the fans, 4,000 of them here today in absolutely crazy scenes when you scored. How pleasing was it, and how great was it to be able to share this afternoon with them?
Yeah, it's amazing. I was scrolling on Twitter on the bus on the way here, and I saw some of the pictures of people travelling up, and it was awesome. You know, I think the Pompey fans have got a great togetherness, and we really feel their support, and they come everywhere we go and support us, and that's helping us drive for promotion.
Match winner for a second game running. Cassini Yenge there speaking with Max Swatton after Saturday's 1-0 victory for Pompey at Peterborough. George, just finally then, looking at that league table. It's getting serious now, isn't it? 7 games left. Pompey are 5 points clear of Derby, 9 points clear of Bolton, with no games in hand. We've secured a top six finish.
Yeah.
Which we would normally get like super buzzing about.
Yeah.
But no, we're at a stage where no, it's be automatic.
I don't want to hear the word playoff mentioned at all from now until the end of the season. They're awful. We've been through them enough, and I've just about got my hair from the last one. So I don't want to do that. Automatics or bust, I think.
I just want to say as well, the earliest opportunity Pompey can get promoted is Shrewsbury at home, which I think is, what, 3 games away? 4 games away?
Oh, yeah. So it is real now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is real.
But I think probably the most likely would be either Bolton away or Barnsley at home.
I'll take Barnsley at home. Pitch invasion, lads. Yeah, no, I'm not promoting pitch invasion. I'm not promoting pitch invasion, no.
Brendan, I don't think we're in a position to be picky about when we're going to do it, mate.
No, just go and do it, lads. In Messino, I trust. In the players, I trust. We've got this far. It's time.
Having said that, though, Lincoln City unbeaten since New Year's Day, 16 goals in the last three games. If they continue the kind of form they're on at the moment, they'll probably get into the playoffs. I know you didn't want to hear the word playoffs. Sorry, George. You kind of want to get wrapped up before that final day at Lincoln, don't you?
Of course you do. You never, as a neutral, it's great when it goes down to the wire. But if you support any of the teams that are in contention, again, horrible. We'll just get it done as early as possible, shall we?
I remember distinctively when Wigan were trying to win the league at Fratton Park and we stopped them, didn't we, at that last home game. I thought, they're not doing it to us.
Brendan, it's been fantastic to have you on the Football Hour this evening. Thank you ever so much for coming in.
Pleasure as always, mate.
And George Wedlake as well, back to have you on this side of the mic. Thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll have you again on soon.
Thank you very much.
Right, no game for Portsmouth men this week. Saturday's visit at Barnsley to Fratton Park postponed on account of international call-ups. So that's been rescheduled for Tuesday the 16th of April. However, there is a game still taking place at Fratton Park this weekend. The Pompey women back at PO4 for their league encounter with Rugby Borough. We'll have full live coverage of that game from 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And I'll be joined alongside Eric Colborne and Ian Chiverton on the Football Hour this Friday to preview it as well. We'll also be getting exclusive interviews ahead of the match too. So be sure to catch us this Friday at 6 for an extensive preview of that huge game for Jay Sadler's side. Henry's back on Wednesday evening from 6 with your local non-league fix with Over the White Line. And for a full look at the ExpressFM schedule this week, download the ExpressFM app or visit expressfm.com. Well, until next time, Blues fans, thank you ever so much for tuning in. Jeff Dorsett is up next.